shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise. It makes me want to shout hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's all right to shout. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, you know what, I almost shouted. And I look at them and I think, well, why didn't you? Makes me want to shout, but I'm not going to because, you know, if you're in love with somebody and it's appropriate, you'll tell them that you love them. You'll tell them that you appreciate them. Amen. How about our Lord? My, we just appreciate all the specials tonight. Thank you so much for, amen. I'm still going over and over and over about if creation obeys you, so will I. If creation worships you, so will I. Think about that. Think of all the order that's out there in the universe, and it's so huge. And it all obeys God. How about us? Amen. We're doing it willfully. They're doing it under the law. Amen. Which is greater? Amen. Aren't you glad that you can make the choice? You can make the sacrifice. You know what? Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, I'm glad you're here tonight. Glad you're here tonight. Hallelujah. Makes me almost want to shout. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. We're so glad to be back together again. If you're visiting with us tonight, God bless you. We're just to thank you for joining us. And just throw your lick of fire in the ring and let's just worship God tonight. We're thrilled to have our my friend and fellow worker and minister, Brother Mike Price, with us tonight. And I'm just thankful to that he took us up on the invitation. And we're excited about what the Lord has for us. Yes. Amen. Did you come expecting? Yes. Amen. We should always come with expectation. God does everything well. Yes. Amen. I'm also thankful for many of you that were traveling that God brought back safely amongst us. I see there's still several that are missing, so we're praying that they'll also make it back safely. If you didn't know it, it might snow tonight, which is actually normal for Tucson, but we haven't had normal in so long, we don't know what normal is, right? What was it, about 3 years ago, we had a New Year's Eve service, and it did snow, right? And the snow stayed the next day, and we had snow on the cactus. And you look at it and you think, what's wrong with this picture? Yeah. It stayed a good part of the day. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm just glad I still have breath to praise Him. And I have a lot to praise Him for. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have our brother come up and minister the word here in a few minutes. But before we do, I'd just like to mention a few things about this passing year that's, you know, this chapter is about to close, and we're about to open a new chapter. And you know, of course, we don't want to carry any unfinished business into the new year, right? We want to make sure that we go into the new year clean, and we're not carrying excess baggage, and everything's right, and we don't have to. Of course, we should be that way. This shouldn't be something that takes place once a year at the end of the year. It should be that way every night. Right, but you know, as we come to this, it's a landmark. You know, if we come to this end of the calendar year, it's just a good opportunity to reflect on where we've been and where we're going, and also to just make sure everything is well and everything is right, and so we're going to do that tonight, and we just pray as the word goes forth. You know, the word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the ministering angel, much of the time, has no idea what's being dealt with because it's the word that's I mean, if it was left up to us, we'd be a nervous wreck. We're a nervous wreck anyway. But if we thought that we would, if it was up to us to go into every heart and discern, we might as well throw in the towel. I can't even do that for myself. I can't even look into my own heart. No man knows his own heart. I can't even look in my own heart and put on a microscope and go in there and say, okay, I need to scrub here and I need to do this. I need the Word to do it. And our confidence tonight is that the Word is going to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen? I believe that that's part of the third pull, and I believe it's happening right now. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Word, is going through our hearts. Aren't you glad? Because if He didn't do it, how would we get right? Wouldn't even know what needs to be made right a lot of times, right? But He does all things well. Amen. So just pull in the gift of God tonight and look past the veil and have confidence that God is going to minister to you. Amen. As He always does. So this was a little unusual year for us. It's not a year that I would like to necessarily live over again. There were definitely some highlights. There's been some wonderful, it hasn't been all valleys. There's been a lot of mountaintops, and we've had new lives join us, and we've had brothers and sisters, family members depart, and knowing that we'll see them again. And so, you get one and you get the other, but we have a hope here tonight. Our year started out at the beginning of the year. It was February 14th, which, the world calls that Valentine's Day, and we're not too concerned about what the world calls it, but it is kind of interesting that it's supposed to be a time when, Cupid and arrows and love and all that, and somebody was so filled with love that they decided to burn our church down. And as I got a call at 4 o'clock in the morning from a police officer, and that's not a call that you want to get. Your mind, just all kinds of things go through your mind. Let's see, are my kids home, or this and that and the other? But it was the last thing I expected to hear. I was worried that it was family members or different things like that. The last thing I expected to hear was that our church had just been set on fire, and that a patrolman was in the area and saw it and got the firemen over here in time to save the building. I thanked them for it, but I'm not sure whether maybe it should have just burned all the way down. We were down here about 5 o'clock in the morning, something like that, 5 or 6, and there was all kinds of different people here looking around the property and going through the buildings, and all the utility companies were here, gas, electric, water, what have you. The gas man was the first one that we talked with, and a very nice man, and I think he'd actually had attended some services in this church many, many years ago. And and he's a Christian. And we had told him that February 14th, on this day, is our annual meetings are going to start, and we're going to have 5 days of meetings, as we have done every year. And then this is what took place with the building. He had to turn off our gas, and in the process did a little test and found out that we had a huge gas leak that we'd had for a while. So I guess that's the answer of this thing burning down to the ground. That would have been horrible, because the gas that was leaking out would have caught fire, and somebody might have been deaths as well. Might have been a big crater here. Who knows, right? The Lord knows. But anyway, the gas man was telling us just how sorry he was for us, and he said Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So here's a gas man preaching to a preacher, we were certainly encouraged by that. And of course, the police department detective, I can't remember what his name was, but he was grilling me pretty hard. The first and most likely suspect is the owner. you burned it down for insurance or whatever, And And so I told him, well, you know, it'd be kind of strange if I did that because my wife and I were the last ones that left. We were the last ones to be here. Well, that didn't help the story either, you know. We were the last ones that were here. Okay. All right. But it's just, you know, it's so ironic because we arranged the chairs in a way that hadn't been arranged before and just... We'd done so much work, and it was like 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, we're all done, and I took some pictures, and we just kind of put our arms around each other and thought, wow, you know, we're ready for tomorrow, not knowing what tomorrow would bring, right? I don't think it ever looked so good, but it'll look better. Don't worry. It'll look better, but, you know, and then for that to take place. We felt very... impressed to continue to go ahead and have the meetings. Anybody would have forgiven us and totally understood if we had just canceled the meetings, but we weren't going to let that stop us. So, and I'm so proud of all the workers that we have here because we've done special meetings and we've done them in other places enough times that we know how to scramble and we know how to pull rabbits out of a hat, you know. And so many of you jumped in, and we were able to find a facility within a day. And you know, you have to get insurance, and you have to get equipment. There's just so much that you have to do. And then there's all the people that are coming in from all over the country that you're supposed to be entertaining. You're supposed to be putting them in motels. And then the church had made all these meals for, you know, we're going to have get-togethers and the visiting ministers and all that. Of course, there's no place to do that. And the power was turned off here because it's linked to that building as well. And so there was just a constant scrambling, but it all worked out. And we had church down at the Leo Rich Theater, and Brother Mike was with us, and Brother Donnie and Brother Daryl, and we had some wonderful, wonderful meetings. And the Lord gave us this scripture right away from Isaiah 61, verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and of course Zion is the bride, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. That's our scripture. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So we're seeing that taking place. And as those of you that are attend here regularly, as you know, we're going to end up better off. I mean, I'm not saying I want to go through this, but we're going to end up better off than what we were in terms of the building. And, of course, the insurance is covering everything. And so we're excited about that. We're thankful for it. But the devil's not going to burn us out. We got fire that won't be put out. Amen. I also think it was interesting that it was just, I don't know, was it maybe the week before? Or it was very... very near to the time of the special meetings. The choir had sang a song, and Sister Monica had come up, and she was going to sing the lead part on it. And she came up and stood on a certain part of the platform, and she said she felt like there was fire that came down, you know. Of course, we felt like it, too. It was this, you know, the choir, they just put so much labor into it, and then just get out of the way, and presence of the Lord comes down, and just so wonderful. Well, it turns out that it wasn't too far from where she was at. That's where the fire started, you know, when they busted through the window. But this fire can't be put out. In fact, you know, the devil might be sorry that he actually did this. You know, I'm sure that there was a human being involved, but it's the devil. You know, he's the one that I mean, who else would do that to a church, right? It's the devil trying to put it out, trying to stop us, trying to discourage us, right? And so it's actually kind of complimentary that we we made it on his watch list, you know. I guess we aren't lukewarm. If we're lukewarm, he'd just leave us alone and say, yep, just keep going. You think you're doing all right, just keep going. But just trying to stop us, trying to put it out. Anyway, I just lost my thought. It was right there. It was good, too. Thank you. Yeah, so this fire will not be put out. Amen. This is a holy fire, right? And so as a result of that, we got people all over the world praying for us. All over the world. Now, I know the devil's sorry that happened, right? And on top of that, people got in contact with me that I hadn't heard from for 20 years, 15 years, you know, 25 years. Just people in the past that you just kind of, you know, lose touch because they're here and you're there and they're doing this in their life and you're doing that in their life. And so, I mean, there was a lot of powerful stuff that came out of that. And so the Lord willing, we know it'll be a few more months yet before we're back in that building, but we will be back. Amen. And the fire will continue to burn. Amen. So that's our year. Of course, there were lots of other events that took place, but that's a pretty major event to take place in a church. Do you love them tonight? You know, we can't look into the future and we can't see what we're going to go through. But one thing we know for sure, he's in control. And if we didn't believe that, we would have quit a long time ago. But he's completely in control. And he's not going to, this is his work. Satan's not going to stop his work. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's stand tonight. Amen. Let's sing, I Just Want to Be Where You Are. Let's sing that tonight as we get ready to turn the service over. So, Brother Mike has been battling with sickness and wasn't even sure he was going to be able to be here. So we thank the Lord for healing him and being with him. And we're praying that he'll be completely restored. But we're also thankful because he had I've known other people that would have just canceled out, and we wouldn't have batted an eye. We would have understood, because you know, well, you got to take care of your health and all that. So his wife is not feeling well this evening, but they're here. They got here today. So just thank him. Just ask that God would give him a double portion of whatever we get. Amen. Amen. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. Dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory, for in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. Oh, I just want to be with you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You are my strength and my song. And when I'm in your presence, Though I'm weak, you're always strong. I just want to be. I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. We'll sing the chorus again. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table. How many came to feast tonight? Surrounded by your glory, for in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. It's good to be here with you again. And just appreciate any opportunity that God gives us to be together. Amen. What an honor it is to be joined with the Bride of Jesus Christ. And we're just thankful for the year that He has given us and looking into, if the Lord tarries a couple more hours, it'll be a new year. And I guess depending on what time zone you're in, earlier or later than that. So, we are very thankful that we can spend this time with you. And as Brother Doug said, just be praying for Sister Carla. She's not feeling well this evening. And we've been in North Carolina back over the holidays and visiting family. And seemed like everywhere at home people are sick. People are sick there. And friends in Tennessee sick all over the place. But we're looking for a place. There's going to be no more germs. There's going to be no more issues, and you just never know why things happen the way they do, and sometimes you bring them on yourself because you don't take care of yourself, and there's always those things. But I'll give you this before we go into the Word. Shared this with Brother Doug a few moments ago. I come to the conclusion the reason I got sick was that the great physician needed to minister to a physician. Yeah. And I was in North Carolina, and I'll explain that here real quick. Ended up going to urgent care because I've had ear issues for years, but I thought I had an ear infection, and I didn't want to be traveling and all that mess going on. And so I went to urgent care, and this woman, doctor comes in and she does her deal and talks to me about this, that, and all the good things going on, and goes out and calls in something and comes back in and grabs her little laptop and she sits down on her stool and she says, "What do you do in Arkansas?" And I thought, do I have to answer this question? I'm the patient, and I said, "I pastor a church." And she said, "Really?" She said, "I've been looking at some things and things I don't understand." She said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I just got off of the table and sat down in a chair and said, "Sure." And you're instant in season and out of season, right? And so, I sat down and she said, "Do you believe there's different levels of heaven?" And so knowing what we know from the message of the hour, was able to take some things. She had lost her dad to suicide. And she thought he was trapped and couldn't go from one place to another. And he was just in a horrible shape. She just didn't understand some of the things we do. And this has just been in her mind and in her heart for the last little while since he had taken his life. And then she had been carrying the guilt. He was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and that's what he reacted to, or how he reacted to it. And then she, as a doctor, couldn't convince him and do to do what she thought he needed to do, maybe, and things. And so she couldn't fix the issue, and so she carried this guilt that all this happened because of her. And then you're sitting there as now pastor, counsel type issue. And, you know, and I began to minister to her these things. And she's sitting there sobbing. And the door in the room's open, you know, and there's people walking by outside. And here's the doctor in here on a chair. And sometimes the doctors need ministered to. And, you know, so I'm convinced that when it was over, the reason I got sick was she needed some help. So you just never know why we're placed here. You say, well, was she bright? I don't know and don't care. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Word of God that can minister to her in her place. And it may have been something that was said to make her turn her whole life and heart around for forever. So, you know, we, if you would, just remember Sister Carla in your prayers. And so let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 60. You forgive me for having you stand for a little bit. I guess I could make up for it and make you sit for a little bit. Brother Jeremy Schreiner and I were in Myanmar back in the end of November, and had a wonderful trip there, and some great things that's you're starting to see some fruit come and from the labors. And thank you here for this church's prayers and support. And these things couldn't be accomplished without that within the body. And so we thank you for what you've done. But, you know, as Brother Andy would know, Brother Doug would know, sometimes it takes a toll on you physically. It seemed like my voice hasn't been right since I've been back. But so you pray for me. We'll pray together. And I believe God will speak to our hearts. And I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Brother M tells us gross darkness upon the people. He said, of course, this is prophesying of the day that we're now living. Then in verse 3 it says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. May we pray together. If you have a need, you just put that before the Lord, and I know that God is certainly mindful. Father, we're thankful that you have given us this once again, an opportunity to worship in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as the songs of Zion have been sung and an atmosphere created, we just want to yield ourselves to you tonight, both speaker and hearer. Lord, that you would anoint us to speak words of life. And Lord, anoint our hearts to be able to receive. May you open our hearts to the things that's needed, shut them to things that would not be needed or needed to be said. But Father, may you give us the right spirit, the right attitude to deliver and to receive. Forgive us of our sins, known and unknown. As we are looking behind us, we see the year that is past. And we see something as a clean slate, if we could say it that way, laying before us. So, Lord, we just ask that you would take these things tonight. And Lord, may we rise within faith and faith rise within us that we could enter into this new time coming. And Lord, may it be an encouragement to us. May we be able to reflect from past to help us in our future. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. Those that are sick or afflicted, Lord, I pray that you administer healing as your word would go forth. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we ask these things. Amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated. I would like to read to you from the Message, Shalom, and then just share some things that the Lord put on my heart. You know, as a minister, you, especially as a pastor, I don't guess I'm a very good sermonizer, but, you know, you preach series or you preach on things and it's, you know, you can, I guess, condense things together. And in other words, what I'm trying to say, you can always find something to preach on.
Sure.
All right. And that's not an issue, but you know, what is an issue is needs within a body. And, you know, and that's where, God has placed within the body gifts you know, and he's able to use each and every one in their capacity. And God didn't want us to be alike. Amen. There's no two pastors alike, no two evangelists alike. They could preach the same thought and it'll never still work the same way. Because they're gifted different, and God made them that way because he's a God of variety. And so when you pray and you ask God for what is needful, and then, you know, of course, the devil always rears up his head, you know, you fight those things, but yet God still, as we persevere and move in through, God always is mindful, and I believe that God will always meet our needs. And so just some things that God has laid on my heart for looking into the new year, we can see that from our scripture reading is Brother Bram takes his text from here in the Message, Shalom. He calls it his New Year message to the church elected in Jesus Christ. And of course he says, you know, that it's for not, that's for 1964, but he says, you know, it is to, like this. He said, my New Year's message is to the church elected in Jesus Christ. And he said, not just the church groups, but the elect. So now he's looking into a new year, but yet you can also see within his mind and within his heart, he's not just looking at church groups. He's starting to focus and deal. These sermons, these messages are coming for the purpose and the sake of the elect. So if we could look at this, we could call it Shalom, but yet we could also say this is for your sake. Because there was things that God has done for our sake. They even shortened the days for the elect's sake. All right? That's for your cause. That's for your benefit to help you and I. Because if he didn't, he said there would be no flesh saved. So for our sake, God cared enough to shorten the days for us. Amen. So he's dealing with the church, not just church groups, but he's dealing with the elect. He says the lady of the church. He said Christ's bride. See, that's who I'm addressing. Amen. He said, we're facing here in our two subjects that we read, the two scriptures, he says, rather a contrast one to the other. Isaiah says, arise and shine, for the glory of God has come upon you. The light is here. And then we see the very next verse. He said, gross darkness is upon the people. And then we're in a mixture, he says, of light and darkness. Then my address to the church is Shalom, or peace. Let's find out what it's all about. We are facing this year both darkness and light. And he says the world is in one of the most chaotic times of darkness that it's ever stood in. And yet it's standing again in the most blessed light that it ever did shine in. So he takes this thought of a mixture of light and darkness, letting us know he's addressing this to the elect, the lady of the church, to realize you're going to see in a coming new year, there's going to be light because the light has come. But yet there's going to be darkness, but yet not only darkness, but gross darkness. Now remember, he's bringing both sides of this so that we won't expect just light. So he's training our hearts to receive what's coming. So he says we're standing in a mixture of light and darkness. All right. Now, when we look at the scripture, we must understand there's things that are written for certain times, certain peoples, things that I said this into Jamaica one time. It's the quietest I ever heard of Jamaican church. And they sung this song, you know, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. And you might sing it here. But yet you Paul says, if you sing, you better sing with understanding. Right? So, you know, not every chapter, every verse, every line pertains to you and me. Because there's going to be some tribulation saints. There's going to be some plagues poured out on this earth. There's things written within chapters and verses and lines that does not apply to the elect. But we must understand what is applying or applicable to ourselves. So we must see our place, our position in the Word. That's what puts us in Christ. This is what brings us to the changing of our body. Now, he tells us this and why people are so tossed about. This is 1956. He said, some people get the wrong impression of what the anointing is. Did you ever think of that? When was the greatest anointing ever given to anyone? What did they do when they had the anointing? The greatest anointing that was ever given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. One day he entered the temple and picked up the scroll and read, the Spirit of God is upon me, has anointed me to preach the acceptable year. Bind up the broken hearts, heal the sick, give sight to the blind. We think that if such an anointing was on him that had been prophesied 800 years before that it would come. And here he is with that type of an anointing, that the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him, we would want to run all over the building. Scream and holler. There's nothing wrong with that. But he said, but the Bible said he laid down the scroll, sat down, and precious words flowed from his mouth. He said, that's what he done under the anointing. So the anointing is not emotions. The anointing is supreme power in control, like knowing exactly what and how. He said, see, and that's what's here. So when you look at anointing, we think many times the same way. We think that there is times that there's going to be a lot of emotion. Now, we believe in emotion because anything that ain't got emotion is dead and probably needs to be buried. Right? You stump your toe, you're going to feel emotion. Right? Somebody hurts your feelings, you're going to feel emotion. Somebody runs you off the road, tries road rage, you're going to feel emotion. Why? You're alive. You're a human being. You have a spirit. And it can be controlled by atmospheres and things around you. And so when we look at where we are and we see this, and as he's taking this with Jesus taking the scroll, and he didn't just walk into the temple and just pick up the Bible or the scroll and read it and say, glory to God, this is me. He just sat down and he knew his position. He stopped where he needed to stop and shut the book. He couldn't speak about the day of vengeance. It wasn't time. But what he could say about this day, he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He found his place in the Word. And this is what he done under the anointing. He began to speak his position, and by speaking his position, fulfilled prophecy. Amen. Wasn't people jumping up and down and screaming and hollering and doing all kinds of things? They were captivated by the anointing that had come upon the one to fulfill scripture. It is supreme power in control. like knowing what and how. So he did not. There was nothing in him to misuse Scripture. There was nothing in him to misplace Scripture. It was to fulfill Scripture. Right now, when we look at this, we realize that I believe we all would realize that we're still in this Laodicean age. Amen. Well, Brother Mike, I'm the bride. I'm in the bride age. That's just a part of Laodicea. I mean, this is, should be ABCs to you and I by now. You know, but yet when we look at this, we realize we are the elect within the age. We are not Laodiceans as far as Christ's rejectors, but we are the bride from Laodicea. I don't think when we get on the other side and sit down at that table that's thousands and thousands of miles long and somebody asks you, what age did you come out of? And you say, well, glory to God, I come out of the bride age. Well, what age is that? I can imagine the Apostle Paul or even John looking at you, well, wait a minute, let's see the seven church ages I wrote about them. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. How'd you get in here? Without a wedding garment, how did you get in here? It's not going to be that type of a setting because we are the overcomers of this age. We must find our place within the Word, not emotions or feelings, but supreme power to take that Word and direct that Word to the people to fulfill prophecy. Because somebody else is not overcoming for you. We are the overcomers of this age. So this is the bride age, is a point within the age that God is dealing with at one time. Yes, the age as a whole. But there was a call that went out within the age. Come out of her. My people. And there had to be a people, his people, or the only ones going to respond to that call. Amen. Come out of her, my people. This elect lady, Brother M, is addressing the elect lady of the church. And he says, you know, we're in a mixture of light and darkness. So expect light and expect darkness within your time. But yet the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So you are actually becoming the light within the darkness. Laodicea was the darkest of all ages. Now, we are the people that were not a people, but now the sons of God. I believe that this is the product of the end time seed sign. That sign pointed to this end time seed. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. We are the elect of this age. We are her. We are her that God said he would redeem, and his whole plan. His whole plan of redemption was for you. To redeem this woman and that she, we're the she that was in him. And not only that was in him, but has become him. You remember Adam was male and female. But once God removed her, he still said their name, Adam. Imagine their conversations. Good morning, Adam. Good morning, Adam. I don't say that jokingly, but that was their name. Right? So, I mean, she was him and he was her. And what everything that he was, she was. And everything that God had made, he made for them. Amen. And as long as they were in their place. So this is, you know, God has not missed one prophecy. God has not missed one thing. And everything that God has done down through time and God has done through the Old Testament was to bring Jesus Christ manifest. Brother Bam calls it a threefold purpose. That God would manifest himself in Christ and then that Christ could have preeminence in a people and then that by that preeminence bring them to a restored Eden. So there must come a kinsman redeemer. And as I said, he never missed one prophecy. Everything God spoke of the bridegroom, it worked. Amen. But yet Jesus himself even dealt with darkness. There was times that things didn't go right. So he was in the, what we would say is even the Jewish side of their, maybe their Laodicean age. If you watch the seven church ages being typed through the, through Israel, and you could see where Jesus would come and how they rejected him and crucified him in his time. But yet, you know, not one time did he fail. And not one time did the word spoke of him fail. So why would God change it in this end time and say this won't work now? We've got to create a different program. If there was no prophecy ever missed of the coming of the bridegroom, then there's no prophecy that will miss concerning the bride. We must find our place in the word and allow the anointing of God, supreme power, in control. People that know their position. So why would we think it would fail now? Everything in the Old Testament and the New Testament that spoke of this bride, it will and is being made manifest. God is building up Zion, and I believe he's got us built. In Psalms 102, one of my favorite scriptures, David says it like this in verse 11. He says, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. And so David is referencing himself or his life or his days as a shadow. And the only shadow is a dark part because there's light. But there's something between the ground and the light that causes a shadow. And David said, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I'm like withered grass. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever. And thy remembrance unto all generations. Notice verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Not them. The time to favor her is come. The set time is come. For thy servants shall take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. Now we'll come back to some of these stones in a few moments or in just a little bit with the help of the Lord. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth, thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come. Not a generation, but the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. No wonder Paul would say, you're a new creature. And the scripture would tell us that Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God, and we are a continuation of that same creation. For a generation to come, the generation and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that were appointed to death. Hallelujah. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion. She is him. He is her. And his purpose was that God, his whole plan was to express himself in Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ within a people that he could have the preeminence in. You are those people. You are this generation that David said it would be written for, and that God would build up Zion and he would favor her. You say, well, God doesn't have favorites. He may not like you and me. Because I know people's got favorite preachers. Hello, somebody. Right? May have to pull a Ron Spencer here on New Year's Eve. Are you with me? But God is not like us. Right? But yet he's looking at one. Right? He's looking at one and he put it in a man's heart, a prophet, to write it out about the generation that would come and a people that would be created. Even to favoring the dust thereof. Because it's going to change it. Amen. And even the servants will take pleasure in her stones. And he's going to loose those that are appointed to death to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord. In the book of Haggai chapter 2 verse 1, you see that here is a prophecy again that is going forth in the seventh month. He says, in the 1 and 20th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Now, what's the question? Here's the word of the Lord coming forth, and he's speaking, you know, to the people. And here he's asking, who is left that saw the first glory? And now, how do you see it now? Do you remember what you saw and remember what you, and notice what you're looking at now? And he says, but notice this, how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as comparison as if it is nothing? It looked as though it lost value. It looked as though it had no even remembrance or resemblance of what it was in its former glory. You imagine how depressing. What a darkness that had settled down for such a time. But remember, there has to be and come a restoration of all things. And he says, now, is it not as in your eyes as comparison of as it is nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you come out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Notice these next three words, fear ye not. What is darkness designed to do? Bring fear. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. There's still a little part of you that just don't like the dark. Hello? Hey, I'm a deer hunter. I know. I walk in when it's dark, and I used to walk in without a flashlight. Because I thought deer could see those lights. And if they saw my light coming, then, you know, until one day I was walking in and there was a black figure jumped up in front of me that I didn't know what was. I could tell it by the moonlight, the starlight, and it was bigger than a coon. It was bigger than a skunk, but smaller than a bear. And I thought, dear God, I don't know what that is, but I'm stopping. And I shivered. It scared me. And it took me months to get over that. So I don't care who you are, how long you've been in that darkness brings a presence of fear. And this is what, brother, I was letting you understand about shalom, my peace, is this. You're in a mixture of darkness, which brings fear, light, which brings faith, and you're standing in a mix of it. Of faith and fear that have become looking like twins. A dismal day. Not hardly notice day or night or whatever, but yet I don't mean it twins, it's fear and faith, and you understand where I'm coming from, but so mixed together that people can't tell if they're operating by fear or they cannot tell if they're operating by faith. They operate by the fear of some man or some man's teaching, and he claims it's revelation, so therefore they think they're operating by faith, and they're actually moving by fear because they don't understand. They're not in the light. They're not in the darkness. They're in the midst of both. It's a very deceiving time. behoove us to pay attention. Amen. Especially with what's going on in our ranks. Notice now. He goes on, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house. Now, notice what he's saying, not another house. He's still calling it this same house. All right? Who remembers it in its former glory? So it was the glory that changed. It was the perception of the people that saw it that wasn't what it was, and it's now looks like nothing. But he says, I'm going to tell you because of my word. I'm going to bring a message that's going to bring a people to their position, a people that's not just emotional, but people that's got supreme power in control, that know their place and know what to expect. And that are standing in light. Because your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. And notice he says, I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, meaning redemption. The gold, deity. It's all mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. The glory. The glory shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Paul picks this thought up in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. He says, you're not come to a mount that might be touched and been that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so be much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned and thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Why? Because of the darkness. Because of what was taking place, that God, it said, you even touch it, an animal, touch it, they must be stoned, they must be killed. But Paul says, you've not come to this place. Amen. You've not come to a mountain that cannot be touched. Right. Notice what he says in verse 22, but ye, he's specific. And you must read it specific. Right? So, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Amen. He's speaking of the bride. Right? Now Paul is picking up the prophecy of Haggai, and he'll get to that, but he's looking at it in this light. He says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Amen. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now, this innumerable company, those words actually means 10,000s times 10,000s. And it's the same word that Jude writes, that Enoch says in his prophecy, that the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. There's an innumerable company. You've come to Zion. You've come to the city of the living God. You are the heavenly Jerusalem. You are the light of the revealed word. This is what you are. You're not in darkness. You're in the light. And not just in it, you've become the light. That word arise and shine, that word arise means to arise. It means to become light. To become that which is risen upon you. So notice he says, you've come to Mount Zion. You are the city of the living God. You are that heavenly Jerusalem, and you have an innumerable company of angels. If you watch those words, it even ties to Revelation chapter 5. And you can see that John in Revelation 5 sees our Lamb. He sees our kinsman. So we're this for your sake now. This is for your sake. This was written for the generation to come. A people which shall be created. This is written for you as the elect. Notice John sees in Revelation 5. He sees a scene. That we have been made kings unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. In verse 11, he says, I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, an innumerable company. So Paul is telling us, you've come to this book of redemption being taken by the Lamb. This is what he's telling us. This is where you've come to. Well, I wanted to find out what 2019 was going to be. Here's a good start. You've come to the city of the living God. You've come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Right? To an innumerable company of angels. So Haggai is speaking of the latter glory being greater than the former glory, that in this place I will give peace. So he's telling you there's going to be a shalom time. Brother Bram tells us he's speaking this to the elect lady of the church. And you watch, remember Jesus took the scroll and he found the place where it was written. And he began to declare, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And he shuts the book, hands it back to the priest, and he begins to take from that. This is where we are. We're not just here to push play on a player. We're not here just to read message books. We're not here just to sit on a pew. We're here to fulfill prophecy. Amen. Anybody can do those things. But not everybody can fulfill this work. Except the generation it was written for. Amen. When you're in the light, you have no fear of darkness. So you know what I done to cure my fear of you? Live a little shadow moving? I bought another flashlight. I got one that I wear on my hat. I got two in my backpack. I lost one, bought another one today at Walmart. Because I figured out I'd rather walk in light. Because it takes away the scares. It takes away the ifs and the ands. What's that? What's that? Ooh. Takes it all away because... If it's a skunk, run. You know what to do because the light told you what it was. So we're not a people that dwells in the mystery, but he's telling you it's around you. This is what's going to be. Darkness on the earth, gross darkness upon the people, but arise, shine. Your light has come. Your light drives darkness from you. It doesn't drive it from the people. It doesn't drive it from the earth. It drives it from you. Amen. So notice, John is seeing this same description that Haggai is seeing. And Paul picks it up in Hebrews 12. And John is writing that this scene is all pointing to redemption. And from this, when John begins to recognize this, he comes to the point, he says, everything in heaven, everywhere, heard I, John, say. Notice what he says, blessing, honor, and glory, and power. to the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not, so we're not taking emotion away, but it must be directed and channeled. Right? So we don't want to worship the prince of darkness. Right? We're light now. So he says, and glory be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. Even the four beasts said amen to John. And then Brother Branham tells us what John actually done was he got a look inside the book and saw his name there. And when he saw his name in there, he couldn't help but speak. Paul says it in verse 23, Hebrews 12, to the general assembly. This is what you've come to. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Amen. And to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Each one of these are a sermon. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And Brother Bram tells us the blood is still speaking. He said it's a token. The blood speaks. And the Old Testament spoke of guilt. The New Testament speaks of redemption. The Old spoke of death and sorrow. But the New Life or New Testament speaks of life and resurrection. Abel's blood was a righteous blood, but it couldn't raise him back up. Right? He was a righteous blood because he come direct from Adam. But it couldn't bring him back up. And it wasn't until Calvary, when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, that actually Abel could rise. I got to thinking about this today on the airplane. You know, I got home Sunday night about 9:15, unpacked, repacked, went to bed, got up at 3:20 and left at 4 a.m. to go to the airport. And I flew here. And I got on the airplane in Memphis, Tennessee, and I sat back and I got upgraded thanks to Delta Airlines. I was so happy. There was one seat left. I checked my upgrade eligibility or how, whatever it is. And I checked it and I was number one out of six. I said, usually I'm six the other way. I said, but I'm number one this time. Maybe I'll get it. And I got it. And I sat down in that nice seat and I said, I'm going to rest. And I shut my eyes. And a guy sat down beside of me. Okay, no problem. So I'm going to rest. So we take off, and all of a sudden, this thought comes to me. And I said, I got to get my phone. So I'm looking. I find my phone, and I'm taking down these notes, and I'm looking at this, and I'm taking this down here about Abel, and I'm looking at the blood speaking. And I got tears running out of my eyes. This guy's going. He's leaning his iPad this way. I don't know if he don't want me to see what's on it or he's just more interested in what I'm doing than what's on the screen. And I'm thinking, but the blood of Abel speaks, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than that of Abel and how righteous Abel's blood was. And I got to thinking about Abel being the first one's life taken on the earth when Cain murdered him. But yet God had made a place that we know now as paradise. And just imagine what's Abel when life left his body and he was in this realm of paradise. He was alone. And Adam lives 930 years, and he dies. And the next man to enter paradise is Adam. Well, Brother M tells us that Jesus emptied it out. So if he emptied it out, it had to get filled up. How did it get filled up? With the elect of the Old Testament. Right? And I got to thinking about the reunion that Abel and Adam had. Their lives on earth wasn't very long together. And I got to thinking about what did they do when they were reunited in paradise. And then when the next one came, and the next one came, and the next one came, what was it? It was family getting back together again. It was a place that was prepared for only sons of God and daughters of God. And it wasn't until Jesus' blood was shed on Calvary that the realm of paradise could be opened. We know it now as the sixth dimension because of the blood separating it. But he empties it out. Imagine what a resurrection that was. My brother said, what a resurrection this is. Amen. Paul said, please see that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not, this is verse 25 in Hebrews 12. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, and here's Haggai, once more I shake not the earth, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signified the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. For we have received a kingdom, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Listen, everything that God has done has been for your sake, for the elect's sake. Brother Bam tells us there's only one thing that God can't shake. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? Well, tell me, Brother Mike, I will. Himself. He says he cannot shake himself. So everything that is of him is the only things that will remain. We which are alive and remain. Everything else will be shaken. It's coming a time, not only the earth, but it's coming a time for the heavens and the earth and everything that's around it. Everything's going to be shaking. It's going to be a chaotic time. It's going to be a miserable day, a gloomy day, but peace. Because of the latter glory, it's in this place will I give peace. Jesus says in St. John 14, 26 and 27, but the Comforter, to me this is pretty simple, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Is that hard to understand? I mean, I was never good in school. Don't take a rocket science to figure that out, no offense. That's pretty simple who the Comforter is. Right? So why is it in this age that somebody changes it to the prophet? You see that mixture? Oh, it's revealed to me. Yeah. Better check out Revelation. You know. Because even the devil can transform himself into an angel of light and make you see things you thought you saw that really wasn't there. It's called fear, false evidence appearing real. And then people move by fear instead of by faith. So there's enough light and enough darkness that it's not really scary. If they were in complete darkness, they'd be afraid. If they was in complete light, well, they'd be bright. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus references here that the world will have some type of peace. My peace, I'll leave this. I'm going to give this to you. Not as what the world will give. So it shows you the world has some type of peace, but it is not true peace or his peace. But it has the sense of peace. which would be not darkness nor light, but just kind of put the two together. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We're speaking of shalom now. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 45, 5 through 7 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I say amen to that. Notice what he says in verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. Who? The Lord. Because there's not anybody else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So there must have been a purpose for darkness. Right? I mean, there was darkness upon the face of the deep, the earth, without form and void. Darkness was upon it, like he was when you was lost. Right? That's the way you were by nature. But yet God said, let there be light. Then he separates the light from the darkness. Right? But yet even in Eden, there were still mornings and evenings. So darkness has, has its place. We must recognize what the place of darkness is and what the place of light is, and understanding that God controls it all. Because even as light, sometimes dark things move over light. And it's cloudy. It's dismal. It's like a cloudy day. I know y'all don't have a whole lot of them. Oh, sorry to bring this cold weather out here. Ruin your summer. But you understand, when the sun is blocked by clouds, it's not that the sun's gone. It's just something that's trying to take its full effect away. And I love flying out in early mornings when, and where we are, we got a lot of clouds and fog and, and all kinds of things. And, and one thing I love is just going and you fly through the fog and you fly through the clouds, and all of a sudden you just poof. You burst out in this blue sky. It's like it was there all the time. A friend of mine, good friend of mine, believer, this message, had a helicopter. Me and him used to fly a lot together. And we would take off from his house and we'd drive when it was real foggy. He lived in the hills of West Virginia, so all kinds of fog would settle in those big old hills and hollers. And we'd drive to the top of the mountain. If we could get to the top of the mountain and the top of the mountain was clear, we'd drive back down and we'd get in that helicopter and we'd start this thing up and we just straight up. And you just watch the instruments, because once you got above the housetop, you couldn't see nothing else. He just keep going. He said, Brother Mike, look up. Let me know when you see blue sky. And I loved it because that bubble over top of it, I love to fly. And I would look and I said, Brother Eddie, I see blue. I see light. And all of a sudden, you burst out and it's nothing but just clouds and fog and stuff in these Blue Ridge Mountains, just blue shining in the sun. He's like, where was all this on the ground? But you had to be in the right position to see its glory. And in that essence, what was fear and what was, had a little bit of uneasiness, because once you get in the midst of fog, you're looking around, you don't see nothing. Everywhere you look. But yet, it once from the right perspective, even the fog had a beauty. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Isaiah 54, I'll try to wind this up real quick, because what I want you to see is that just because our light has come does not mean that you won't have dark times. it doesn't mean that you won't have dark times. Brother Ram tells us that, you know, he says, you know, it's like the little child. You know, he said he runs in the house. And he says, Mama, my arm hurts. Mama, my legs hurt. And he says, what is it? He said, it shows he's got good vitamins. It's growing pains. And he said, sometimes suffering is God's growing pains. Suffering for his word's sake is growing pains of his grace. And sometimes we must suffer the growing pains of his grace. And this is why when we look back, we come to the year's end, and it's a time of reflection back. And yes, we see the good times, we see the highlights, and we see the perspective from above that everything looks beautiful. But remember where you come from to get there. It was your pilot. It was your guide that took you through those things. And it was those foggy days and dismal days that weren't pleasant. But yet you're persecuted or made fun of, or you're going through struggles. Even Brother Bram said, God will bring tensions into a church. It's suffering for growing pains of his grace. And we see that these are times that we're going to have. And I want to let you see that when you have those times, as the sun sets, I don't care how many atheists, I don't care how much, and hopefully nobody in here would do this, so I'm not going to say that you could go out here and do this, not thinking that you would do this, but you could try, I guess, and go out there and say, sun, stand still, you're not rising tomorrow. Well, unless you're Joshua and anointed like he was and led by God to do that, it ain't going to listen to you. Because God set it in an order, and it's going to rise. Right? There's coming a spring. If time tarries, there'll be another spring on this earth. And there'll be a summertime. And you'll thank God for this cold day. Back home, we're funny people. I mean, we're just, you know, we're hillbillies, I guess. Southerners, whatever we are. I don't know where I am. I'm from the South and the Midwest, wherever. We complain about the heat. Oh, I hope it cools down. I hope fall is early. Well, guess what? Fall came real early. Actually, we didn't have one. It just went from summer to winter. We already had two snows, and that ain't normal. And people said, well, I wish it warmed back up 70 degrees. I love it. I think 2 months ago in September, you were saying that I wished it was this. Hello? It's here. And now you want it to go, you invited it, but you want it to go, we're funny creatures. So come July, you'll thank God for this day of December. But we're going to have these times. And Isaiah was he's a major prophet, and he writes things concerning the whole plan of God, really. And even over into the millennium and things, and he writes the Bible within his book. And what I like about Isaiah is that the way God dealt with him is he would have Isaiah writing, and he would write, and he'd be writing some things, and then all of a sudden he'd say, behold, a virgin shall conceive, and he'd go right back to writing in his thought. But God injects this just right here for a moment's time, just to kind of throw people off. Because you think, well, that didn't fit. But sometimes the way we read it is not the way God saw it. And I love how Isaiah was led of God to write. And in Isaiah 54, verse 11, I want you to notice what he does. And he takes this, because remember, our thought from here is there's a generation that this is written for. The generation, right? The people that shall be created. All right? So we must take the scroll. And we must find our place. Yes. Yeah. And then let the supreme power supreme power in control. Let it move through you. Let it put you where you need to be. And understand that just because we're bride doesn't mean we won't have trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But there's a promise. God delivers him from them all. So he showed you. I mean, look at the scriptures referencing healing. So he must have known there was sickness coming. I formed the light. I made darkness. I make peace. I created evil. By that, he created the evil one who brought manifest evil. All right? So it wasn't that God created evil things. He created the evil one called the devil. Notice he's speaking to a people. Not just a people, the people. He says, "All thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted." What a setting. You would think, well, we're bride. He's speaking to the generation of people that's coming. I mean, if we're this much prophesied about in the Word, we'd want to run all over the building. But look at you. You're looking at prophecy. And you're like, is this really me? Is it me? Oh my, I ain't never looked at it like that. Or this, wow, okay, yeah, that's me. And what is it? Same way it was with Jesus. When your pastor preaches, your brothers preach here, ministries come through and preach, they take the Word, they take the scroll, they find the place where it was written. You're like, oh, that's me. I see that. Amen. And then it comes to a place like this, and it's speaking to the same people. Yeah. Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones. Remember the promise of Zion. Amen. Even thy servants will favor her stones. I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncle and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, notice this. He's speaking of a people that will be afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted at times. But when you're this way, tossed with tempest, when you're not comforted, remember this was written to you. The promise was, when you see these times, I, because there is not another. There's no other God beside me. I will lay thy stones with fair colors. This word fair that Isaiah uses, and this is a strange illustration that most give it, it is actually the color of what the Egyptian women used to darken their eyes. In other words, it would be black like pavement. In other words, when you're tossed, afflicted, tossed with tempest, not covered, I'm going to lay thy stones like a pavement. Smooth and fair. There ain't nothing like driving on a new road. Well, I would say pay more taxes, but that don't help none. Come to Arkansas, I can prove that to you. But new pavement. Ain't it nice? Hey, it's just like a new driveway or something. You know, it's just, wow. And look at it. But then years roll on. And it starts to fade. It starts to crack. Because the earth is constantly moving. But God said, you're moving. You're tossed with tempest. You're not comforted. You're afflicted. But I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations as sapphires. I'll make thy windows. And this reference is not just like a glass window, but it references the actual, the ability to bring in the light. And all of this ties with what we would see in the book of Revelation of the laying of the foundations of that new Jerusalem. Isaiah writes about it. He uses the carbuncles and he uses these things, but he's actually describing the gates, the walls. He's actually looking. You've got this on earth. You're going to have these times on earth as a people. But just notice, Paul says, but you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And not only are you the city of the living God, but I'm going to make you a city on this earth. And thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and in great shall be the peace of thy children. Now he's not referring to you as your family and offspring, but he's referring to the sons and daughters of God. And he says in verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Verse 15, look at this. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Now notice, he goes from thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, to saying, I'm going to lay your stones out with fair colors, describing a new Jerusalem. Then he comes right back to those that would gather against you. And if they gather against you, they're not by me. So I love how he just injects things and just... And he said, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. This Eve cannot fall. But those that come against her will fall. For thy sake, because for your sake, as the elect in the mind and plan of God, you could not fail because it's his word in you coming to pass. Notice he says in verse 16, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. So he's looking. Isaiah, he's writing, he's seeing this, and God is telling us he's created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that brings forth an instrument of war, and these things he's created the waster to be a destroyer. But notice verse 17, but no weapon that this smith that I created. Notice that he bloweth the coals in the fire, bringeth forth an instrument for his work, but no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Amen. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And but God said, I made the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. He's going to make instruments of war against you. But whatever he forms, it cannot prosper. Amen. Why? What is it because of you? No. It's because of his word. His word in you, so yes, it is for you. It's his word in you. Right? In chapter 57, verse 19, he says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace to him that is afar off, to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace. And it's the fruit of the lips that comes peace. It's not what we do, but it's what God gives and says. That's what's deity speaking. Right? We are kings and priests. And it is the actual death and life lays within the power of our tongue. But yet we ought to be as kings and priests, creators, and to offer up a spiritual sacrifice of praise. And you know when the prophet of God told us to praise Him? When you don't feel like it. Because he asked, he put it in a question form. Well, Brother Bram, I don't feel like praising the Lord. He said, that's just the time to praise Him. That's when you're making a sacrifice. Because anybody can praise Him when the sun's shining and the bills are paid and everything's running fine, the children's healthy, and everything's going just good. Anybody can come to church. Anybody can say, praise the Lord. Why are you smiling today, Brother John? I don't know, but everything's good. Sorry, Brother Johns. I didn't mean that purposely. I got a good buddy of mine here with me, John Gissendanner, so I'll blame it on him. But it's when we're having to make a sacrifice that it's the fruit of our lips giving praise to His name. Because this generation shall praise the Lord. Amen. So if you're tossed with tempest, you're doing this way, that way, and you come to this point in life. Listen to this. And if the musicians will come back, I'll read you this from Possessing the Enemy's Gates. Forgive me for taking a little bit of your time. He says, it was only a few years later when the trials come. He said, the church got all shook up. He said, as is so easy for a congregation of people to do when something just don't seem to happen the way that it's supposed to be. He says, God makes it that way. God brings tensions into the church. Every son that cometh to God must be tried, proven, tested. He lets sickness strike you. He lets diseases come on you to test you and to prove you. Listen to this. To show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. Think of that. I mean, many times we get sick or we have something happen. And it's not a bad thing. We should. As I think Brother Doug said a little bit ago, we ought to check up, not just at the end of the year or not just at the communion time. But yet, the first thing comes to our mind, what did I do? Did I do something to deserve this, Lord? Lord, whatever I've done, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I don't want my prayer hindered here, Lord. Whatever I've done, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Put it under the blood. And this is what we do. But sometimes, these things don't come because of what you've done. It's so that God could prove to the world that you're the seed of Abraham. And sometimes things happen that you can't explain. And I told this woman doctor just the other day, I said, you know, I've seen God, you know, heal the sick. And I told her about a man in South Korea when I was there back in July. The end of the service had Friday, Saturday, Sunday service. And Sunday morning, it was a brother come to the altar. And I didn't make an altar call. I just said, if you have a need and you want to pray, altar's always open. Kind of in a general way, without saying we're going to have a prayer line or anything. And this man walks up to the front, and all of a sudden another one comes. And I just eased over, and I put my hand on his head. And when I did, he was burning up with a fever, just very hot to the touch. And I thought, dear Lord, this man's sick. You know, but I'd watched him Friday and I'd watched him Saturday working, carrying chairs, moving tables, setting things up, taking things down. And when I laid my hand on his head, he's burning up with a fever. And I thought, what is wrong with him? And I just prayed. I just put both hands on his head and I just prayed. And I walked over to the other one. And when I walked over to this one, I think it was a sister. I come back and there was people lined up all the way down the front of the thing. So I prayed. Brother Mike Nutter come up and prayed. And when it was all said and done, I go out to the back. And the restrooms are outside. So I was going to go change my shirt. It was in July. It was very hot. And I walked into the men's bathroom. And here's this brother that I'd prayed for. He's down on his hands and knees. He's wiping up the floor. And his wife's wiping up things. And he jumps up when he sees me. And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." He said, no. He said, it leave. And he's trying to tell me this in English. He said, it leave. And I said, I don't know what you're saying. And so his wife comes and he says, "He's telling you." She spoke good English. And this is a miracle within itself. She was in the Philippines 20 some odd years ago. The message was introduced to her. She's moved to South Korea. And in the process of time, the Lord leads Brother Mike Nutter down to a certain place. And now she comes back in contact 20 some years later to the message. And she's married and got children. And now her husband is a deacon in the church. You can't put these things together. God will not lose a one. And here he's standing here sick. And she said, "He's telling you that the demon left." And I said, "What left?" And she said, "He's been having a pressure in the headaches, very bad headaches in his head. And he was diagnosed with a tumor that was in the front of his head." And said, "When you prayed for him," I said, "I noticed he had a very, very hot or high fever." And she said, "Yes, he's had a fever and he had a tumor right here." She said, "When you prayed, his nose started bleeding." And he just took off to the back of the church outside to the bathroom, and just big chunks of this tumor started coming out of his nose, and he's blowing it, and he's blowing out pieces and blood's all over the floor, and God delivered the man. And I told this woman, I said, look, you there, I've seen God do things. And I said, "But yet here I sit talking to you." I said, "There's some things that you cannot explain. But yet God will work." How God sees the faith within an individual. And it's that individual that brings God on the scene for their need. And it may not be the same for everybody. Some might be afflicted. Some might be tossed with tempest. Some may not have no comfort. But I can tell you, I will lay your stones with fair colors. Just if time tarries, there will be another spring. You can't stop it. It's the word of God. God set it in order. So yes, it's a fact that all things work together for them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. So God makes these things that way, he says. And he brings these things. He lets these things happen. And he says, to show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. Now let me ask you. And I hope this don't happen. You wake up in the morning. Well, after a while, you're going to be tired. Sure. Hopefully you're not sick. And even if you are, you know, hopefully something will be said that you can sit up in bed and say, "Not what did I do? Lord, what did I do to deserve this?" But God must need to show the world something. God must need to prove to somebody, you are the seed of Abraham. Right? And listen, it's easier to see yourself or ask yourself, "What did I do?" than it is to stand up and say, "God's proven to the world or somebody in this world, I'm the seed of Abraham." Try it one time. Amen. Notice this. He says he permits it by his own will. He permits all these things and can turn the devil loose to tempt you. He'll do all but take your life. He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you, turn the church against you. He could do most anything, and it's God's will for him to do it. And we're taught that it's more precious than gold to us. I take consolation in this. We'll always be tested. And we'll always be tried within this life. But I like what Jesus told Peter one time. He said, "Peter, you know, the devil has desired to sift you as wheat. He's desired to sift you, Peter. but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Not that you wouldn't fail, but that thy faith wouldn't fail. I've prayed for you. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Let's stand together. I think y'all sing that song, Brother Kenny. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows my name, maybe that's what it's called. You just play that. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, as we are approaching a new year, I think the echo of 1964, from what we read from at the beginning of this, shalom, peace. Living in a time of mixture of light and darkness, but yet living in a time as gross darkness is upon people, there's another people that's becoming light. So a greatest time that ever has been, when prophecy being fulfilled, people, not just emotions just running helplessly or helping or running around not knowing what they're doing, but people that know their place, that know their position, supreme power in control, knowing exactly what and how. That's what's here. I think it could be echoed all these many years right on down through here. There's another people, the people. It was written about for many thousands of years ago. As we look down through Old Testament into the New Testament, Paul picks it up. John sees it. He sees this plan, everything coming. So there must be a people, those people on this earth at this time. Lord, may that settle in our heart, that it take the fear away. Darkness brings fear. There's fear in our life. It'll cause us to question, what if I miss the rapture? What if I don't make it? Will I make it as a foolish virgin? Well, if I don't make it as bride, I'll come up as this. Or that's fear. That's fear. There's a presence of darkness. We're not in total light. So Lord, if there's one here tonight that has that within their heart, fear, allowing a spirit of darkness, they need to be far from oppression. You said they would be. And we know we will be in that new Jerusalem, in that new city. There will be no darkness. There'll be no oppression. There'll be no fear. There'll be no diseases. There'll be no none of those things. Perfection beyond. But Lord, if they're asking themselves over and over, they're entertaining darkness. They're children of the light. They're children of the light. Light always drives darkness away. May they settle that question. I can't miss it. There's this many things written about me. And this is scripture. Not even some of the things that we could say from the prophet of God, who said even our natural birth was pre-planned. God bred this one with this one, this one with this one, this one with this one, just to get us. Amen. And can't nobody take our place. Amen. So we take that spirit of fear, and as sons and daughters of God, in our light, let us cast that fear away. Amen. That we walk in faith, not by fear and faith or fear of some man, but faith in a living God. Lord, may it be settled in their heart. As they enter into a new time, may they enter into it in light. We'll always have darkness around, but it doesn't mean we have to let it follow us and we entertain it. We'll have times of darkness. We'll have times of sickness. You permit those things. We must just understand as children of the light why you permitted it. And then we walk with supreme power and control, knowing that it's your will, and we come out this on the other side as a son of God, a daughter of God, overcoming in this Laodicean age. Lord, that's our hearts. May you answer our heart's cry tonight, Lord. We commit ourselves to you, Father, for this time and the remainder of this service, Lord. May you receive glory. May you receive honor. May you receive our praise. For we were created to praise the Lord. I love how the prophet of God says you love to hear your word quoted back to you. I don't think he meant it just quoted by quote, but that he meant seeing it lived in the life of people. You love to see your word manifest in the lives of your children. That's a king. That's a priest upon this earth. So Lord, may you take these things tonight. May they find good ground. May it bring forth fruit unto you, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing this together, Brother Doug. He counts the stars one and all. He knows some of
seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Amen. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine. 'Cause he knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my name. I'm so glad tonight that he knows my name. Amen. Give him a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Well, I believe that was spiritual food in due season tonight. How many can say amen to that? You know me, I'm not one to polish on someone else's sermon. I believe the unction and the anointing is on the one that's bringing the word. And I believe that there's a lot to chew on there. Amen. Just wonderful, wonderful thoughts. Just, oh my, just as I'm sitting there hearing the word go forth, you know, they're just like, it's like a Roman candle, Brother Branham said, you know. It'll, part of it will go up, and then you can see it go different directions. And you want to go this way and that way and this way. And there's just so much there. But it's for us right now. If you can receive it, it's for us right now. If you're a visitor tonight, it's for you right now. It's for us right now. God is amazing, isn't he? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to change the order of the service here for a moment. We're going to have communion and followed by foot washing tonight. And so we trust that your hearts are right. And, you know, we've seen both extremes. We've seen people that, well, I'm afraid, I don't want to take communion because I, you know, what if there's something wrong and then I'm taking it, you know, unworthily. Look, how hard is it? If there's something wrong with your mate and you, you know whether there's something wrong or not. You don't have to get a bulldozer out and go dig in the backyard looking for something. You know. I'm sorry I made you cry, sweetheart. You know that. Right? So, you know, if nothing comes to you, well, then it's well with your soul. But if something does come to you, you know, just make it right. And the only thing it'll cost you is your pride. And that's a good thing to get rid of anyway, isn't it? It only hurts for a second, and then it feels good, doesn't it? And you think, why didn't I do that sooner? So, you know, it's actually worse to not take communion, thinking that you're being religious and, you know, well, I'm going to stay away from it because I'm not worthy of it, but at least I'm doing the right thing. You're not doing the right thing. Because if the Lord were to come right now, you wouldn't go. Yeah. And Brother Branham made this statement. I was looking for it here. I don't remember exactly where he made it, but so I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But he said, I want to get to the place where the very moment that I do something wrong, that I'm walking with the Lord, and the very moment I do something wrong, that the Lord will make it known to me, and right then I'll say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And just keep going on with the Lord in a walk with the Lord. And I remember the first time that I heard Brother Branham say that, I thought, well, I thought you already were there, you know, and that's where the rest of us are trying to get to. But this is a daily walk, right? And I just love the picture that was made here this evening. You know, there's going to be darkness around us all the time, right? And so it's a daily walk. And every day, we're all going to have to say we're sorry for something, right? There's only one that never had to say I'm sorry, and that one was virgin born. The rest of us, we're still saying we're sorry, and we'll say it until the body change. You know, maybe we're saying it a whole lot less, or maybe we need to say it a whole lot less than what we used to as we mature. But I guarantee you, there'll be some more I'm sorrys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So if the deacons would come up, we'll move things around here, move the table up here and move the pulpit out of the way. Amen. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship.
rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
I got several notes from different people today, and the first one I got, somebody that I don't really know too well, but they were apologizing to me. You know, if I've offended you, if I've done anything wrong, please forgive me. I don't want to go into the new year with this problem. I thought, well, that's really nice. And I'm thinking, why are you telling me this? Is there something that, you know, and I don't even really know you that well. Well, after getting about 7 or 8 of them and seeing that somebody sent it out that was sincere, and then other people got on the bandwagon, and now everybody's sending it out to other people, and, and it kind of lost its sincerity a little bit, but it sounded like a good idea, right? But the thought is good, right? I mean, we don't want to go into the new year but we don't want to just say that either. We don't want to just have some empty, you know, I hate that. If I've offended you, you know if you have or not. What's this if business, right? Why do we put the word if in there? You wouldn't be saying it if you thought that, right? Anyway, let's go into the new year fresh. You know, when it snows, I always think of snow as something that's fresh, right? And there's a real nice sound when you walk out when there's snow, and that sound is no sound. It just sound kind of gets absorbed, and things are clean, and we want to go into the new year clean and fresh. I don't want to belabor it, but I do. So the sign language I was trying to give the deacons, we need 2 garbage cans, please. And they're back here. Praise the Lord. I guess I'm not good at sign language, but do you love the Lord? Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand one more time. Thank you. Put one there, and maybe you can take the one out of my office. Yeah, thank you. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. I will bow our heads here for a moment. Father, we're just so grateful for the word of life that was ministered to us tonight, Lord. And Father, we'll be feasting on that for the near future, Lord. We believe that it's spiritual food in due season. We believe it's what we need right now. We're grateful and we're thankful for it, Lord. And we just ask that you'd strengthen our brother, that you give him, Lord, once again, a double portion of what's been poured out upon us, Lord, and if it's double on him, he's going to be a pretty blessed man. Father, and may your blessing be upon his wife as well, Lord. Strengthen her, and Lord, may she have a personal revival while she's out here, Lord, of just a time of renewal and rest, Lord, before having to go back into the grind of the daily grind of life, and the things that are put before us. Father, as we approach your table here tonight, first of all, Lord, we just want to tell you once again how much we love you and how thankful we are, Lord, to be called by your name, for you to make yourself known to us in the ways that you're making yourself known and so personal, Lord. As we heard, we're reminded once again of tonight. Father, as we approach this table, Lord, if there's anything that we haven't confessed, just bring it to our remembrance, Lord, and give us the grace to, Lord, to just say, I'm sorry, or whatever it might be. Forgive us, Lord. We do things that we don't want to do at times, Lord, but we're confident. We trust in you, Lord. We're confident that when we confess, as your word says, you're faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we can come before you boldly, and we can come before you as sons and daughters, and we can come, Lord, with there's no condemnation in the picture. Father, as we as we partake of the bread and as we partake of the wine tonight, Lord, we know that the bread is a symbol of your body that was broken for us, that was given for us, the word that was given. And Lord, we just ask that you would sanctify it, and we pray that you bless the hands that prepared it tonight, Lord. Bless this bread and the wine, Lord, to the strengthening of our bodies. And Lord, we know that there's healing in the cup. We know that, Lord, as we approach this with faith tonight, and we believe that there's faith in the building tonight. We believe that it's common that, Lord, there was faith that was ministered here tonight, Lord. So, Lord, we want to apply that faith, and we want to come forth with confidence tonight, knowing that if there's any sickness, that we have every right to expect for that sickness to leave. And Lord, if there be certain needs that we have, whether it be physical or financial or spiritual or emotional, whatever it might be, Lord, we can have confidence that we can put these things before you and have a peace about it, Lord. We know that, Lord, that you deal with things in your time, but we know, Lord, that you're a prayer-answering God. And so, Lord, as we come, we pray that you would bless this wine also, Lord, as a type of, Lord, the life that was in the blood cell that then comes back into the heart of the believers. Lord, as we partake of that tonight, Lord, may your presence just be amongst each and every one here tonight, Lord. Father, there was a time when people were beginning to wonder, well, do we even need to, as a New Testament church, do we even need to take communion anymore? Because now we're having spiritual communion. We're communing with you as we break the bread of life, and we're communing with you as your spirit moves and flows. But Lord, we know that there's an actual an ordinance that we're to keep. And that ordinance is to partake of communion, Lord, and to wash one another's feet. So we want to keep your word, and we believe, Lord, that these are symbolic things, and we believe that we're literally, these things are literally taking place in our lives, but we want to be obedient. And Lord, we're also thankful that it's a reminder to us every now and then, Lord. It's a reminder to just check up on things and not take things for granted, and not take one another for granted, and not take the events of life for granted. As our brother said here tonight, that, Lord, there's a purpose in everything, and we shouldn't just jump to the conclusion that it's something, because it's something that we perceive as negative or bad, that it's something that we did or didn't do. Lord, everything works for our good. So, Father, as we partake of this tonight, Lord, may your spirit just move in and out of every heart. And Father, may your blessings be upon each and every one. And Lord, may the world see. Father, we had a man questioning whether pictures that were taken in a certain meeting, whether it was a pillar of fire or not. And Lord, it looked to me like reflections off the lens of a camera. And Lord, not that it's, we're not looking for those things, and we know that those things can still take place. But Father, we're not looking for those things to be a vindication in our life here tonight. What we're looking is to see lives that are changed, Lord, to see the very nature of Christ lived out amongst us, to see a maturity coming in a body, to see a body coming to recognition of who and what they are and what their portion of the word is that's being lived out, that portion, that, and it cannot fail. So Lord, we want to be more like you, and we want to just see a greater maturity come in this local fellowship as well as in the corporal body throughout the world. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. You're my master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance
after. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim.